I into your hands. I commit my spirit into your hands. I lay me down into your hands. I commit my spirit into your hands. I lay me
circumstance that I found myself in, whether it's abundance or poverty, that you are there with me, that you love me the same, that you are my helper, my comforter, and that you're always with us, that we're never alone. And I thank you for that truth and your faithfulness, God. You're so good. Amen. All right, you guys, give somebody a giant high five. Tell them, what's up? Just like that. Have a seat.
Does that get you excited or what? If you feel nothing after watching that, I think you're like part robot. You got to get that checked out. You got to get it checked out. Well, hey, my name's Dan. I'm a volunteer around here. And I'm super excited to share a couple big things that are happening in the next few weeks. And you want to make sure you understand what's going on. The first is this whole I'm in situation. It's the fall campaign that our entire organization, church, is moving towards. And in 2 weeks, October 17th and 18th, we are having something called Vision Weekend. It's arguably going to be the one of the most important weekends we've ever had here of all time. This is going to be huge. You don't want to miss it. 2 weeks from now, different service times. Check your program. They're in the service times are in there. And also, we're doing online ticketing, totally free, not a big deal, but we have to make sure whenever we do something this big that we've got seats for everyone. We don't want to turn anyone away. And so it's an awesome time where we all get on the same page for what's happening this fall. We circle the wagons, hear about that vision at Vision Weekend, and we figure out how we're going to actually get there. It's going to be phenomenal. You don't want to miss it. Does anyone want to miss it? No. You want to be there. Online tickets. Go do that today. Grab those tickets so we have room for everyone. It's going to be awesome. In 3 weeks, we are doing Baptism Weekend, which I'm super excited about. I don't know if you are, but it's a time when folks get to make an outward declaration of an inward change. That inward change looks like saying to this Jesus guy, I'm all in. And so it's something that we celebrate here, but we also know it's something that has a lot of questions and mystery and confusion surrounding it. And that's cool because this weekend, today at 1:15, we have a baptism information session. So if you have questions, bring them. It's totally safe. No commitment. Bounce them off somebody who's got some experience with the thing, and they can help you figure that out. We really are excited about that, and so if you've got questions, please show up. Go shopping. Come back. Show up. It's at 1:15 today. Great. This is the time of the service where we get to be generous. Oh, that's a great point. So we need volunteers. We need volunteers. Good point. So we have this Vision Weekend thing coming up. We're ramping up this fall. If you've ever had an inkling to get involved, we go to crossroads.net/join the team. If you want to hold babies, shake hands, kiss babies, don't kiss hands. I don't know. It gets weird. There's more details that are online at crossroads.net/join the team. We need folks to partner with us, join arms, get this thing accomplished from a volunteer perspective. Because it's such a big outpouring from what we're doing this fall. We're really excited about that. Great. This is the time in the service where to get to be generous. And so as the offering comes around, we get to fuel the life change that happens in Cincinnati and around the world. So you can drop something in the disc, or like my wife and I do, you can go to crossroads.net/give and set up a recurring e-gift so you're intentionally fueling that growth. And while that happens, we're going to watch a recap from what happened last week. It's something called Man Camp. Any alumni in the room? Woo! Oh, yeah. Strong. They're up early. I like that. They're men. They're getting stuff done. So Man Camp is a thing where men get to come together, meet other guys, do work together, and get to know more about their Heavenly Father. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. and to your right. These are your warriors. And we're going to battle right now. Now, it may not feel like it. To some of you, this may feel like we're singing songs. Get over yourself. This is not about you. This is about us putting ourselves underneath the lordship of Jesus.
I'm tired of my boyish ways. I'm tired of fighting what I know. I just want to receive Christ, not just try to follow the rules. I want to receive him and live a new life.
We baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I have and am, and ever hope to be.
Man, amazing stuff. Something powerful when you mix baptisms and 63 kegs of beer. Yes. God bless America. So you're going, is he serious? Yes, dead serious. Yes, absolutely. It's great. You know, one of the things that we see when we take a look at the difference between men and boys, the main difference between men and boys, a through line, is that boys are passive. Men are aggressive. Boys are passive. And as we take a look at our Daddy Issues series, the reason why most of us have issues with our earthly dad is because they were passive. It's because they were passive. Some of us have had awful, awful dads who were physically and sexually aggressive towards us. They were monsters. Your issues are, fortunately or unfortunately, much deeper than mine and much deeper than the average person. But for most of us, our daddy issues come from passivity. They were too passive in helping us save for college, and so we came out with too much debt, not a responsible level of debt. They were passive when they heard that we were being bullied on the playground. They didn't do anything about it. They were passive in building into us and giving us new skills. They were passive in not aggressively coming against their addictions, and all of a sudden their addictions washing them away and causing us to have an unstable home life, or them to personally to be leaving because they were too passive. They were too passive in not aggressively going after and pursuing the woman that they had to father or mother you. So when we look at this Heavenly Father, we have to understand what we're looking at today, he is not passive. He might not be doing what you want him to be doing right now, but he is aggressive. He is aggressively doing his thing in his time and his way, and he's good. And you're also going to see that he also is an aggressive giver. That's what we're looking at today. Let's pray before we go any further. God, I want these people in here who in reality are your people in every way, shape, and form to receive the grace gift that's ever possibly been given, and to walk in power and to walk in an awareness of your presence. So as I talk about this, I pray that you would help me. Help me to be clear and help me to be pleasing to you. And I pray these things according to your name and character, the person of Jesus. Amen. Hey, before we get any further, let me just say this up front. Today is going to be a little freaky. We're going to talk about some things that aren't talked about on talk radio or other such places. It's going to be sometimes deep. It's sometimes going to sound maybe weird. It's sometimes going to sound maybe a bit mystical. And you know, if we're really trying to get to our Heavenly Dad, shouldn't we expect that? I mean, seriously, I mean, if every once in a while we're not, what? Well, that's that. Well, then maybe we're not following God. Maybe we're following a philosophy that we can understand and feels good to us. So when we look at this stuff today, I just want to say, if you're ever going, this sounds a little weird. Good, that might mean we're getting closer and closer to God, because God is a giver. God is somebody who aggressively does what he needs to do. For many of us, we had dads who sperm donored us, but they didn't father us. It's easy to be a sperm donor. It's hard to be a father. It's hard to be a dad. It's hard to be engaged. And part of why it's hard is because when you're a dad and a mom, this is equally goes both ways. When you're mom or dad, you're in constant giving mode, aren't you? It never ends. The checks never end. The wanting to like read me a book at night never ends. The worrying about if they're dating the right person never ends. The backstop of whatever, it just doesn't end. So when you're a good parent, you just continue to give. And so this is three big ideas of giving. Well, actually, the big idea is this. A good dad gives his kids good gifts. That's what a good dad does. He gives his kids good gifts. And our dad is a good dad. And one of the gifts that he gives the gift of provision. He simply provides things that you and I can't provide for ourselves. Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 to 11, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, that's you and I, we're evil, not that we're Dr. Evil, but we are evil because we're human and we have a level of evil and selfishness in us. So Jesus says, if you who are that way know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So he says, you know, we realize in our flawed awareness of love that we should give good things to our kids. And how much more does our dad, our heavenly dad, know, and he wants to give that? We know that this is a good thing. In fact, it would be really weird if you didn't give good gifts to your kids. Jimmy Kimmel recently did a takeoff on what it would look like to be a twisted parent.
So I asked parents to tell their kids they were going to let them open one present a few weeks early. But instead of a good present, I said, put something the kids won't like in the box. And a lot of the kids, surprisingly, reacted poorly to that.
Would you give Charlie?
I don't like this. An old banana.
An old banana? Isn't that exciting?
No. A battery and an onion.
What's wrong?
I don't want an onion.
A hot dog.
You stinking parents! Take this back!
It's a half-eaten sandwich. Isn't that what you asked for?
No, I asked for a toy.
Some black beans, cheese, and a Waffle House hat.
Nothing went up from Santa Claus.
What? I got ponies?
That was your great-grandpa's hammer.
I got ponies?
Guys,
mine is a stupid book.
We thought really hard about what to get you this year.
Well, you didn't do a very good job.
It's the worst Christmas I ever had.
People are clapping like, oh, that'll be fun. I'm going to do that. That sounds really fun. I mentioned last week that when we have movies that move us, they almost always are moving us because they're in line with the kingdom value, in line with the character of God. And images of dads and children move me a lot, especially dads and sons. Maybe that's because I'm a son. They just get me. And I'm going to show you a clip right now. I'm just apologize and say something I said earlier. I know that these are old movie clips. I know. I do watch current movies. I promise I do. The problem is current movies just tend to not have great dads in them. It's because I believe the only thing I can come up with is Hollywood has filled with people who have daddy issues and they don't know what a good dad looks like, so they don't know how to put it in a script. So as I go back to these older clips, I'm reminded of how it touched me. And this one had some really deep, profound impact on me because I always wanted a BB gun, if not a Red Ryder double action pump with a compass in the stock. Let's check out this dad.
My God, would you look at that mess? Who's going to clean the papers up?
Not me.
Oh, no?
No.
Granny did it last year.
Well, he can do it again.
You know, this wine's not bad. Well, it's not good either, but you want a sip?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Oh. Did you have a nice Christmas? Yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, did you get everything you wanted?
Almost.
Almost, huh? Mm. Well, that's life. Well, there's always next Christmas.
Yep.
Hey, that's funny. What's that over there behind the desk?
Where?
Oh, behind the desk, against the wall over there. Why don't you go check it out? Come on.
foot over there, honey.
Santa Claus probably burned it. Close it up.
Can I try it out, Ma? Can I?
Okay, but outside. Oh, I still say those things are dangerous. No, put on your galoshes and your coat. It's cold out.
I had one when I was 8 years old.
What if he hurts himself? Robbie, your coat! Don't shoot any animals or birds.
Except the Bumpus' dogs.
Oh. Be careful, Ralphie.
Oh, man. Gosh, I remember the first time I saw that clip, I had tears streaming down my face. It struck me deeply. And I was before I was even emotional, I was like 20 years old or something like that. I was like, I wanted a BB gun from my dad, because my dad never got me one. He never got me a BB gun ever. I always wanted one, never had one. That's part of why I think I gave my son his first weapon before he could walk. I was like, here, son. Have a BB gun. I got in this big thing. This is long before 9/11, where anytime I would travel, I would bring him back a new weapon. I'd bring him back a new knife, a throwing axe, or something like that, because I wanted to. You think I'm kidding? I'm dead serious. I wanted to confer to him trust and just give him a gift. Because what our heavenly dad does, he gives gifts. The best gift I ever got from my parents, I remember very clearly, was getting a 10-speed bicycle they had in the basement, and it was a color orange. And I wonder sometimes, is that why I like the color orange as much? Because when our dad gives us something, it bonds us to them. And we need to recognize that our God is a giver. He gives. And the greatest thing he gives is the presence of his Holy Spirit. He gives his Spirit. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, here we go. I told you we're going to start to get a little bit deep, maybe a little freaky. Here we go. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You've probably heard all these things before. I can't go into detail on how this all works together, how God is one and yet existing in three separate persons. It's an intense and mystical belief. But when you receive Jesus, as many of us did last week, or many of us have, or someday you may, when you receive Jesus, as we saw last week, you receive your dad, because Jesus said very clearly, I and my Father are one. And when you receive Jesus, you receive his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is put inside of you and I. And that gift never perishes. Psalm 139 says this, O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? My 10-speed bicycle is long gone, but when God gives us a gift of his Spirit, he never leaves us, it never vanishes, it never goes away from us. It is always present. God gives us, and we need to receive the gift of presence. The present of presence. The present of presence, and we need to receive it. If Ralphie doesn't go over and he doesn't get that BB gun from behind the desk, if he doesn't receive it, then his dad may as well not even have provided that gift. There's a moment where he has to receive it. In fact, there's a moment of usage day in, day out when he puts that gift into practice. And this is what happens with the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you have to receive it and you have to put him into practice. Now, when I talk about the Holy Spirit here, I'm not talking about an aura. I'm not talking about a general idea, like, or I'm not talking about emotion. Let's get in the spirit of things, or an aura. May the force be with you. May the Spirit be with you. We're talking here about a person. We're talking here about the person of God who fills you as a gift and is present with you. Now, Jesus talked about this before he left the earth. In fact, Jesus said, you'd rather have me leave. You'd rather have me physically absent so that the Holy Spirit can be physically present in you. Here's what he says. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I will have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. We looked at this last week. All that the God the Father has is Jesus. They are one the same. And Jesus is saying, right in line with that is the Spirit. And this Spirit, you notice his personal pronouns. He. Jesus says, when I leave, there is going to be the person of God, the Holy Spirit, who's going to fill you with his presence, all who receive me, and he will be your helper. This is amazing. This is a really intense word. It could mean helper, counselor, advocate, empowerer, supporter, companion. Jesus says, you want me to leave you because right now I can't be with everyone at all times. But when I leave, anyone who's in a relationship with me, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will have his presence. The idea of being close to an earthly dad is a great thing. All of us, if we didn't have a good earthly dad, all of us know that we want a good earthly dad. We wanted a good earthly dad. When you got a good earthly dad, you just enjoy being around them. Another movie that I'm not going to show the clip of right now, but this service is older, so you've all seen it. Field of Dreams. Now, you know, we get to 11:55 service. Those people aren't waking up until 12:15, and so they're not going to get here. And those slackers, they've probably never seen Field of Dreams. How many of us have seen Field of Dreams in here? How many of us? Yeah. Yeah, one of my favorite scene in that, just whisper to your person next to you, what's your favorite Field of Dreams scene? I wonder how many of them have the same exact one. Just see what you can remember. What do you say? Okay, think about it. Okay. Mine is when he sees his dad coming back as a younger man, coming out of the corn stalks. His dad is there, Kevin Costner, and they catch. How many of us remember that and said that was my favorite scene? I saw that scene and go, they're just catching. Why are they catching? It's because now he has his presence of his dad back. My dad and I used to play catch all the time. When we caught, it was a bonding thing. We were together. The Holy Spirit, when we receive him, it is the gift of presence always with us. The other day, I was having breakfast with somebody, and it was great, good breakfast. We came out, and I parted right to go to my car. He parted left. I went right. And I heard Dad talk to me. Dad talked to me because I sensed something the Holy Spirit was saying to me. Now, if you've never heard of this stuff before, you might have a hard time understanding it because you have to build your relationship with the Spirit. You have to build your relationship with to understand what he does, how he sounds, all that stuff. I made this right, and I heard, you should pray with Andy, is what I heard. Not like heard. What I sensed, an idea came through my mind. It's an idea, kind of idea that Jesus would give me and approve of, and so therefore I want to assume it's a spirit. But I go, no, that's just a varying thought. So I took a couple more steps. I'm like, no, seriously, you should do that. And I was all of a sudden, I realized, why not? I've heard this before. So I turned, Andy. Yeah, I ran back over to him. Said, hey, man, you mind if I pray for you right now? I said, I'd love it. So I prayed for him, and I turned away and walked, and I sensed the pleasure of my dad. Because I did what he wanted me to do. And that was not because I'm a spiritual person, definitely not because I'm an emotional person, definitely, if you know me, not because I'm a thoughtful, relationally oriented person, definitely not that. It's because the Spirit inside of me, God's Spirit, his presence that was put in me over and over again, gave me a heads up. See, here's the thing. When you have a personal entity who is the Holy Spirit, this is a person with a personality, and you can do things to encourage him to be around you and discourage him to be around you. The Bible calls it grieving the Spirit. You can't grieve an aura. You can't grieve a mindset. You can grieve a person. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So we grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Next verse gives us just some of the ways that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So there's certain things that if my son wanted to do them, I just wouldn't want to do them and I wouldn't go. If there's certain things that my son or my daughter wants to do, I want to go there. I remember my daughters, I wanted to give them the gift of trust of their dad. So as soon as they were driving, like the day that they got their license, I was excited to give them the keys to the car and have them go anywhere they wanted. Go on the highway, go there. I wanted to infer to my daughters the gift of trust. And people say women drivers aren't good. I say my 16-year-old daughter can drive anywhere she wants. I want to give you the gift of this. And even though I'm not with you in the car, I'm going to give you the gift of knowing that I believe in you and I trust you because I like you taking responsibility and I like you growing up. There are places and things that you will go that will encourage the Spirit's presence in your life or discourage the Spirit's presence in your life. Why do we look at the bitterness issue a couple weeks ago? It's because if we're bitter towards our earthly dad or towards our neighbor or anybody, if we're bitter, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be around us. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit leaves us entirely. I'm not saying that God's mad at us and like if we get hit by a bus, we're going to go to hell. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying like when you go into a strip club, he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be there. Where you go to Chippendales. Chippendales still around? I don't know. He doesn't want to be there probably either. I don't know if he want to be there. I've never been there. I assume he wouldn't want to be there. But he just doesn't want to be there. And by the way, if you happen to have a relationship with Jesus, I know every time you leave a strip club, even if it's a momentary lapse, I know you feel isolated. I know you feel lonely every single time. Why is that? Part of it's because you had the presence of the Holy Spirit when you went in there, and he didn't want to be there, and he left. And he left. God's in strip clubs. God is all places, working in all places. I'm not saying God left you. I'm not saying if you walk out of that place, you get hit by a truck, you're going to hell. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying God doesn't love you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when we have a person who is dwelling inside of us, this brand new innovation that only started 2,000 years ago, all the greats in the Old Testament did not have this. They didn't have the inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit. But when we get the inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit, he's an entity that we can grieve and we can encourage. And when we're gossiping, and when we're intentionally trying to put people down, we're intentionally scheming behind people's backs, when we're bitter, you don't know what my dad did for me. You don't know, by the way, my neighbor who did XYZ kind of ran over my grass and put a mark on it. You don't know. You don't know that they keep their music up too loud and I can't even sleep when it's 9:30 at night. You don't understand how, you know, you got, you know. When we have these things, it's just this toxic environment that God doesn't want to live in, that the Spirit doesn't live in. But what he does want to live in is when there's places like forgiveness and joy and sacrifice, and giving, and happiness, and playing. These are the things where the Spirit wants to be. See, it's kind of like a dimmer switch. You know, my dimmer switch in my dining room, I don't really understand all of what's behind that dimmer switch. I don't know where that electricity is coming from. I don't know if it's coming from a dam. I don't know if it's coming from a nuclear power plant. I don't know what Duke Energy is doing out there. I'm really not sure. And I'm really not sure of the infrastructure of how it gets and goes through transformers and underground and overground and how it comes into my... I mean, really, it's crazy, crazy to think of the innovation that we have that we can do this. I don't understand that. All I know is this. With decisions I make like this, things get brighter. This, things get dimmer. Bright, dim, bright, dim, right? I can, and this is what it's like with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying we're turning up or turning down the love of God in our life. I'm not saying that God is he's not a taskmaster who's going to just moment by moment say, I like you now, I don't like you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you and I both know there's places that we want to go and places where we don't want to go. Movies we want to see, movies we don't want to see. And if you invite me to a movie that I might want to see, I'm going to go. You invite me to Annie Hall, I'm not going to go. That's just not my thing. And so we make choices to turn up the spiritual intensity and the awareness of the presence of God in our life, or that wash that away. And that thing is power. We need to receive God's power. This is where the power source is. This is where we have a connection with Dad and we have power. This is where we feel light, where we have joy and peace that passes all understanding. How the Bible says have a peace that surpasses all understanding, a joy in all circumstances. How in the world would you have a joy in all circumstances? Because you have the awareness that your Dad is with you and dwelling in you right now and is pleased with you. And when that's going okay, it doesn't matter what else is going wrong. Because Dad has it covered, and it's good. Book of Luke, chapter 10:19. Jesus talks about one of the more crazy things in the Bible. He says, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." A lot of reasons why this stuff I'm talking about today, which is just no-brainer Bible stuff, it is. Trust me. I said, I've been in church a long time, never heard this. That's because pastors are afraid to talk about this stuff. Because oftentimes, people who get really into Holy Spirit stuff get weird. So I look at this verse like, hey, man, let's go out in the middle of the woods and start sticking poisonous snakes in our mouths and, you know, having snakes in worship. And those folks exist today, and that is a bad idea. Let me tell you what. In fact, it grieves the Holy Spirit if you're holding a poisonous snake thinking that God likes that. That's just weird. It's weird. But there's something going on here. Jesus is saying, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, there will be a power that will raise up to do things that you think are physically impossible. I had this verse on my mind years ago. I was meditating on it. So when you meditate on something, it doesn't mean you're going, it doesn't mean that. It means you keep that thought on your mind. You keep thinking about it. You marinate your mind in that verse. You pray about it. You discuss it. You just, you know, you're thinking about it. So I was away on my summer study break, and this verse was just sticking with me. I couldn't get out of my mind. I'm going, man, what does that look like today? How does that work? And I was lying down in bed, and I felt this presence. The presence was actually in my bladder. So I need to get up and go to the bathroom, which is generally the only reason why I wake up, is I go and do that, right? So when I got up, and by the way, interesting enough, every time before I come out to speak at Crossroads Oakley, I have a little ritual that I do in the room where I try to gather my thoughts. I like putting my foot up on an end table I have in there and praying. I pray. And as I pray, I just pray that God would encounter this room and wherever Crossroads happens to be, and that people would be blessed. And what happens is I go into this bathroom, and I feel presence in this bathroom. It's really odd. I've never felt that before when I've gone to the bathroom before or since. I felt the presence in the bathroom. I turned on the lights, and there was a scorpion right underneath my feet. And I chose not to crush it with my bare heel. I thought maybe that would be being a little too literal, but I did kill that sucker. The only good scorpion is a dead scorpion. I took that dead scorpion, I came back, I put it inside of acrylic, and that is what I pray on every time before I speak, a dead scorpion. And I believe God was preparing me for that moment. I've never seen a scorpion before in my life, never seen it since, let alone in that house. I stayed in that house, a friend's house in Florida, for I think 8 straight years, never saw a scorpion in that house. That night, while I was meditating on that verse, that scorpion was in my bathroom. And what I do with that is I recognize when you come to a place like this and you hear the word of God, when you hear God's truth, you got to realize there's a spirit that doesn't want you to hear anything. When I talk about God's view of sexuality, I know that there is evilness that's causing you to think the wrong way about sex, and I have to trample that. I have to squash that. I know that when I talk about money, it always freaks people out. Why? Because money is a spiritual force against God in our country, and I want to crush that scorpion that's nipping at us. When I talk about forgiving and loving your enemies, our country doesn't do that. We don't get angry, we get even, right? And so when you're here in a place like this and God's being brought up, God's ways go counter to the ways of the wily serpent. And so I want to crush that. And I recognize when you come in here sometimes, you go, man, I thought that was right for me. It's because that's exactly what happened. The Spirit said, no, this is for you. The Holy Spirit himself inside of you, if you've possessed the Holy Spirit, was doing something to translate and make it powerful for you. And when you realize that that's a power source in your life, you should be able and willing to do things that other people who are just like you are not willing to do. I just turned 50 a couple days. Boo-hoo. 50 years old. Oh, gosh. You know, when you have a milestone birthday like that, you have a birthday celebration or like a little get-together or whatever, and people are just going out of their way to say nice things to you, you hear more nice things than you deserve. You know, you just do. You hear way, way more than that. I've been just blessed with amazing relationships and people saying nice, nice things. I thought, I don't know if everyone has this many nice things said to them when they're 50. I don't know. I've never been somebody else to be 50. I have no idea. But the crazy thing is people have been encouraging me is they're talking about things I don't even remember. One guy, I don't remember because I'm 50 and now my mind's going. I mean, I don't remember it because there's things that I've done and said that were no question inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit that I literally do not remember it. So one guy said, man, I remember when you said this to me, I made change, and I was going, I vaguely remember that. We laughed about it. Another guy said, I remember sitting with you, and I just broke down. I don't want to go into the details of it. He said, and you got up, and you looked at me, and you said something really firmly, and then you kissed me. And just like things got better. I was like, I guess I'd forgotten that one too. And what happens in these moments? What happens in these moments is when you get in step with the Holy Spirit, you have a power to do things that you wouldn't have done before, someone just like you wouldn't have done. I tell you, I'm not more gifted than the average person. I'm not more courageous than the average person. I'm not smarter than I honestly am not. But here is what I do know. I've been walking with God for long enough that I trust him and his power. So therefore, when the person who is not filled with the Spirit is unwilling to make a move because of uncertainty, I'm more willing to say, I think God's going to meet me in the gap and make up the difference. Let's make a bold move in faith because the power of the Spirit is there. It's the secret behind so much that's happened all around our church. People say, what's happened there? The leaders here in our church believe that there is a Holy Spirit who empowers us and calls us out to do things we're uncomfortable to do, and we'll do it before it makes sense in a spreadsheet. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you want that? You should want that. Do you want a life that's naturally supernatural, or do you want a life that is only natural? If you want one that is naturally supernatural, we have to start receiving and walking in his power. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. Not you will receive tinglies when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not you will receive a quiver in your liver. No, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. This verse is going to be a theme for our campaign. It's going to kick off in several weeks. Where God's taking us. But it starts with receiving power. Power. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. It's hard to understand being filled with the Spirit, but it's easy to understand being drunk because most of us have. What does it mean to get drunk? It means there is a substance or an entity that you keep consuming, and eventually you become a different person. You become a happy drunk or an angry drunk or a passed out drunk. This is the same thing that happens when you receive the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that you keep receiving over and over and over. And when you receive it, you become a different person. And the person you become is always better because it becomes more like God because the Holy Spirit is God. Now, inside of Christian circles, we have different secondary beliefs
There's intramural debates on secondary beliefs in the Bible. I believe they're secondary, various things. And I love being across this because we have different people who believe different things about all sorts of things. That's awesome. Let me just kind of pick at one of these. There are some that would say, once you receive Jesus, you receive Jesus, but then there's another time when you receive the Holy Spirit. It's called second touch, or sometimes it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the idea behind this, not to get with words, the idea behind this, there's always something after. Receiving Jesus isn't good enough. There's a separate thing that happens that marks you, and it oftentimes can be crazy, and you can oftentimes speak a language you've never spoken before. In fact, you should speak that, some would say. If you don't speak a language instantaneously you've never heard before, then you haven't received the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that's right. If that's true, then I don't have the Holy Spirit, and God has no power in me because I've never spoken a language that I've never learned, okay? I don't believe in a second touch of the Holy Spirit. I don't think the biblical record is clear on that. Unless we're talking about a second, I had a second touch, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and I'm on my 200,000 and second touch right now. Because the Holy Spirit is ongoing and filled all the time. And it says, do not be drunk with debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. It is the present imperfect tense in the Greek, which means continually be refilled. On and on, more and more, every day, ask for his presence, have people pray for you, go to places where you know the Spirit wants to go, on and on and on and on. Now, we're going to have an opportunity to be filled with the Spirit right now. When you receive Christ, you received the Holy Spirit, you had the Holy Spirit, but then the Holy Spirit does different things in us at different times. It's not just a one-time thing, it's an ongoing different thing. So we want to walk you through some exercises here. Well, maybe you receive the Spirit in a new way. Maybe you have a connection with God in a new way right now. We need to want this. We need to want things that are beyond our capacities. We need to want things that are a little weird and a little odd, because that may be the very place where God is. So we've got an experience put together for you. And just kind of calm yourself down and try to create space. And just follow along in these prompts that we're giving you right now.
The Bible tells us that God is all powerful and rules over the entire earth. Yet he is right here with each of us. It says that God delights in us, wants to calm us with his love, and rejoices over us with singing. God adores us like a good father who treasures his children. No matter what our background is or what our family was like, we were all children once. We were all kids who wanted someone to love us, to protect us, to be on the sideline at our most important game, to pull us aside and say that no matter how much we messed up, we were still incredible, that we were still so easy to love. For the next few minutes, we're simply going to try spending time with God the way a child might, receiving his love and his acceptance, and experiencing the feeling of being his treasured children. Maybe you've never done anything like this. Maybe you're not sure you even believe this, but for the next few minutes, try keeping an open mind and believing that all this is true. Imagine you're a child again. You're in the back of your family's car. The window is open and warm wind is blowing the hair back off your face as you stare out the window. You are on a journey to a place you love, even if it's a place you had never been to, that you know exists. A place you feel happy and safe, where you can run around. A place you wish you could always stay. Begin by feeling the wind on your face, the sun shining through the window, and remember how it felt to be you in the backseat of the car on that journey. But even in this moment, you may have something that feels heavy on your heart. Open your hands and start to feel the weight of what you carried with you as a child. A secret you never told your parents. The pain of being forgotten. left out, ignored. The feeling of not measuring up. Your parents fighting. A parent walking out. Unrealized dreams. A lost friendship. Let all these memories pile up in your hands. Then reach your hand out the window and let go of those memories. Let go of the disappointments and pain. Imagine that the wind grabs them right out of your hand. They're gone, and all you feel now is the wind against your empty palm. Then as you look out your window at the scenery rolling by, you realize you aren't alone. God is sitting next to you in the car. He looks comfortable and relaxed, his head leaned back against the seat. His presence is very calming to you, and you're thankful that you released all the weight you had carried. You can just focus on the moment, enjoying God's company, the beauty out the window, and the comfort of the ride. After you've ridden along in silence for a while, God says, "I'd like to share something with you. This is a poem that someone wrote about me a long time ago, and I want to read it especially to you, because every word of it is true." And he begins, "I am the only God who exists. I created everything, the universe, the earth, everything around you. And I care about you as an individual, the way a shepherd cares for his sheep. I'll provide for you so that you'll never be without anything you really need. I'll make you rest and give you abundant nourishment. Then I'll encourage you along the way, making sure you have constant refreshment. I'll put new life into you when you feel worn out and exhausted. I'll keep you on the right track. When you travel through the darkest, most troubled place, do not worry. I'm right next to you. I'll never walk away. I will guide you and guard you, so feel safe with me. I will lay a table for you right in front of your enemies, giving you a lavish spread like an honored guest. For the rest of your days, nothing will chase after you except for my generosity and kindness. You're at home with me for as long as you live."
That is the absolute and honest truth of who God is and how he feels about all of us. So if you want to receive that, we're going to sing this song and ask God to come closer to us. Sing it with us. Would you
So we're in a moment like that. When I hear that, I just instinctively put my hands open because I want more of God. I want more of the Spirit. If you've received Jesus, you have the Spirit, and he wants to abide in power. If you haven't received Jesus, you can't have the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father are one. You can't say, "Oh, I want to have that power," but not really have the identity of God. It doesn't work that way. We get it all, we get none. And we make choices that encourage God's presence in our life and the present of more power and more awareness of Him. So sometimes it's somebody praying for us, putting hands on us. Sometimes just sitting right here saying, God, make me aware of who you are. Fill me, refresh me right now in a way that only you can do. Come closer. We have to ask. And as we zone out and maybe go to one direction or another, we just come right back. He doesn't get bothered with that. He loves the fact that we're trying. He loves the fact that we're engaging with him. It's called a relationship. Relationships aren't always easy. And we're not always focused. And we do things that aren't right sometimes. It's a relationship. And he wants to know, do you want me closer? Do you want more of me? And when that happens, you receive more power. Power to break chains of addictions that you've had. Power to break habits. Power to break things that physicians think that, no, you can't break that. You'll just always be that way. And that power comes from love. The Bible says that God is love. That is who the Spirit is. The Spirit comes to us with a strong, loving presence, and we get more of that love and more of that presence, and we wake up with it, and we go to lunch with it, and at nighttime, we lay down with it because He is a presence that never leaves and never forsakes us.
This love is an everyday kind of love. Every morning a minute, yeah. This love is an everyday kind of love. Every evening a minute, this love.
There is no chain this love can break. Oh, there's no love that goes so deep.
Some of us just initiated a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You just said to Him, I want more of you. You've initiated a relationship with Jesus, perhaps. You just did that. You're like going out here saying, no, wait a minute, am I thinking Dad? Am I thinking Jesus? Am I thinking Holy Spirit? I don't know. I think different entities to connect with God in different times. But you just need to be aware of your connection to your Dad is the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says. Your connection is Him. So let's try to build our relationship with Him this week. Let's try to turn up the intensity. And let's try to do the things that encourage Him to be with us and ask Him to fill us with more power. Okay, have a great week. Get your tickets for Vision Weekend. Going to be amazing. Have a good one.
Your prayer.